Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about all of the modern conveniences we have, technology, modern advancements that enable us to do such amazing things. Those of you who grew up and went through school, at least part of it, before the development of the internet, remember that when you had to write a paper for a class, you had to go to the library, you had to pull an encyclopedia, maybe you had to consult some different books on the topic, and today you can simply pull out your phone and ask your AI assistant to do some research for you. But warning, especially to you who are still students, you can't always rely on the results that AI assistant gives you. To do the best and most accurate work, you still do need to do some research yourself to confirm. But think about all of the information we have just at our fingertips that we don't even have to type the words. We can simply speak and we can hear some results and get information in an instant. The modern technology can enable us to do amazing things. But faith in God, faith in Jesus, our Savior, is a far more important enabler than any modern technology or advances that we have available to us today. First of all, let's define what faith is, and then see what it enables us to do. Our reading says in the first verse, faith is being sure about what we hope for, being convinced about things we do not see. Now, it's important for us to understand that the way the Bible uses the word hope is different from the way that we normally use it in our everyday speech here in America and in other parts around the world where they speak English. We often say things like, well, I hope that my wife won't find out that I accidentally broke that important memento and glued it back together. Or I hope that it won't rain on the picnic or the event that we have planned. That's kind of wishful thinking. But the hope that God presents to us in his word, especially in this reading for today, is a future certainty because he has promised it to us. Now, in our lives, apart from God and his word, nothing is sure, except, as they say, death and taxes. But let's illustrate what we mean by faith in God using two examples from everyday life. If, for example, I buy some B-rated junk bonds or some penny stocks, I'm speculating, I'm hoping that I won't lose my money, but there's really no solid guarantee. But by contrast, if I buy a U.S. government savings bond, for the most part, at least, I can confidently look forward with a relative certain future of being able to redeem that bond at the end of the set time for the guaranteed interest yield. Faith in God is being sure about what we hope for and certain about what we do not see. Faith in God is trusting Jesus as our Savior. If we go back to the opening words of this letter to the Hebrews, it tells us that in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, the Israelites in the Old Testament, through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the Son of God, Jesus Christ, all the promises of God are summed up and fulfilled. The Apostle Paul writes about Jesus to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. No matter how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. Jesus is worthy of our trust. He, the eternal Son of God, took on himself our human flesh and blood when he was born in Bethlehem long ago for us. He entered into the mainstream of human history in that divine miracle of the incarnation. And for 33 years of his life on this earth, in spite of the frustrations and the injustices that were hurled at him and committed against him, he was perfectly obedient to God the Father, speaking words of truth, doing works of healing and acts of mercy, even loving his enemies, even praying for them as they were mocking and beating him and nailing him to the cross. None of that was easy for him to do, but he did it all for you and for me, for our salvation. Jesus went to the cross and suffered and died for you and for me. The Apostle Peter says in his first letter, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree. Peter knew what it was like to have his sins taken by Jesus. In spite of Jesus' warnings to Peter and the other disciples, Peter still had fallen asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane again and again in Jesus' greatest hour of need and support from his closest friends. And then just a short time later, Peter had denied brazenly, calling down curses from God upon himself, denied three times that he even knew Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest's home when Jesus was on trial, having been falsely accused and soon convicted and imprisoned. You and I are no better than Peter. We have put our wants first when God needed us for one of his tasks that he wanted to carry out. You and I have denied Jesus by sometimes embarrassed silence, fearing that perhaps our friends would mock or laugh at us, branding us as a religious fanatic if we spoke up for God's ways and followed his will in contrast to what our friends wanted us to do or were doing. But in spite of what we have done or what we have failed to do, Jesus died for us. He took away all of our sins. He shed his life's blood to wash our sins away and make us holy and righteous in the sight of our Heavenly Father. He is worthy of our trust. And when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, then a whole new world opens up for you. By faith in him, you are enabled to do many things that would otherwise be impossible for you. First of all, faith enables you to please God. Our sermon text says in verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. And there is no better way to please God than to trust in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christianity is not a religion, as the modern world thinks about that word and what it entails, thinking about it as a rule book of moral do's and don'ts. No, Christianity is a day-by-day living relationship with God as our Father, with Jesus Christ as our Savior and brother. We know that any close relationship like that is built on trust. Think about you who are married or in a romantic relationship, about how long your relationship would last if there was no trust. Think about also in business and in life, in the marketplace, in so many ways, how so many of those relationships and interactions would crumble and break down if there was no trust. And so, you cannot please God without trusting him. And faith enables you to understand the world. Verse 3 of our reading says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. What is the origin of the universe? What is the source of life on earth? These are questions that thoughtful people, philosophers, and scientists have thought about and discussed. Physicists have come up with a Big Bang theory that everything suddenly exploded out of nothing for no particular reason that they've been able to explain yet. And also biologists have postulated the theory of evolutionary origin of life. But more and more, there are many scientists today who are quietly, sometimes out loud, rejecting some of these theories, because of the problems that are created and that are discovered more and more with many of the practical implications of those theories. Faith in God and in His Word not only enables us to have an understanding, a proper understanding of the world and the universe that makes sense, but it enables us also to understand events of human history. Historians will rack their brains trying to understand why nations rise and fall, what are the circumstances and the conditions that cause the fall of a mighty empire. But God tells us righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. And faith enables us to obey God. Many people of goodwill believe that religion and education are the means to achieve a good and thriving society. But the Bible paints a more complex picture. For example, the great apostle Paul confesses in Romans chapter 7, "I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." A person can believe that it is a sin to get drunk, but that belief will not stop him or her from having one too many. A little boy might believe that it's wrong to tell lies, but knowing that that is true still doesn't prevent him from being tempted to lie. The facts about people and their actions do not lead us to conclude that corruption is found only among the uneducated or the illiterate. Sometimes the more education a person has, the more adept and sophisticated he or she might be to plot out and carry out sinful actions. Faith in the living Lord Jesus is what enables you to obey God. The Apostle Paul's victory over his sinful nature is expressed in his letter to the Philippians when he says in chapter 4, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." The victory that Jesus won by his death on the cross and his resurrection is yours. The promise of moral victory is expressed by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. "It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." There is no surprise for us here. In verse 8 of our reading, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Abraham had already been richly blessed by God in Ur of the Chaldees and in modern-day Iraq, where he originally came from, and later on in Haran, where he and his family moved to in northern Iraq or Syria. How could he then leave all of that prosperity, leave his family, his homeland, and travel hundreds of miles away to a land that he had never seen before, and in fact, a land that God didn't even tell him where exactly it was that he was headed for? And how could he convince his wife, Sarah, who perhaps maybe didn't want to leave her home country, her nice, comfortable home and life? Well, they did it by faith in God. And we read that by faith, even Sarah, who was past the normal age of childbearing, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham and Sarah's faith in God resulted in an amazing miracle, the birth of their son Isaac. When Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old, now, you and I may not be given that same miraculous gift of bearing children in old age in our lives, because that is not the miracle that we need in our lives. But God assures us that prayer to him in full confidence through Jesus our Savior does indeed move mountains and accomplish miracles. Most importantly, faith enables us to live for eternity. Life as a Christian is an exciting adventure of faith, But the best is yet to come. Our sermon text says about all those heroes of faith that it describes in this section. In verse 13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them from a distance and welcomed them. And they admitted that they were aliens, foreigners, and strangers on earth. We are familiar with Jesus' promise that in my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. But our sermon text today from Hebrews chapter 11 adds a new dimension. It says in verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So we can look forward in sure hope to an eternal city in which we will dwell forever with God, with Jesus our Savior, in all his glory. Faith in Jesus as our Savior is a great enabler. Maybe you've heard some people say that Christianity is a crutch. Religion is a crutch. Karl Marx, the father of socialism and communism, famously said that religion is the opiate of the masses, a drug that numbs us and dulls our senses. It just makes us feel good as we go through the suffering of this life. Well, yes, indeed, a crutch is a crutch. Eyeglasses, hearing aids, pacemakers are all crutches for those who need them. As sinners, we do indeed need a crutch. Much more than that, we need total salvation. And so we call him not only a crutch, but Jesus, our Savior. Through faith in him, we are not only saved for eternal life, but enabled to do many things that would be impossible without him. Praise God for all these blessings through Jesus. Amen.